Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody here. Any visitors that we have, we extend a very special welcome to you. We'd like to welcome you back tonight at 5:30 for our evening worship service. And Wednesdays, we have Bible study at 6:30. Wednesday nights, we are studying the book of Romans. We'd like to encourage everybody that is able to come to that. It's been a really good study. Today, not that today's any different. It's not that I want you to pay attention today and not other weeks, but really want us to pay attention this morning. The topic is about sin. And sin is a very, very ugly word. It's a very ugly issue. It has destroyed homes. It has torn up friendships. It has been the cause of maybe losing jobs. It ruins lives.
Amen.
It ruins us. It can kill you physically, but worst of all, it can send us to hell. Sin can send us to hell. There's nothing funny about it. Nothing. I hate how the world discounts sin, how it minimizes sin. It is portrayed in TV and movies as sometimes just funny. It's portrayed as acceptable and run-of-the-mill. Whether it is homosexuality, fornication, adultery, alcoholism, drug abuse, a lot of times it is portrayed as funny and normal. Anyone who criticizes sin, or anybody that is portrayed as trying to prevent people from sinning, is seen as unloving and judgmental. The world gives arguments about sin as, I can't help it. It's not my fault. I have some syndrome. I have some disorder. It's not my fault. I've seen people use the argument, God made me that way. Well, you know what? God made me a heterosexual, and I'm attracted to women. But it doesn't give me license to commit sin.
Amen.
I've seen arguments in a crowd, if somebody does stand up against sin or doesn't want to go along, oh, don't be a prude. Oh, come on. What's wrong with you? Come along with the group. Everyone does it. Don't be the oddball. Don't be the weirdo. The devil made me do it. That is the oldest excuse for sin there is.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to the Garden of Eden. The devil made me do it. It's not my fault. I've heard people use these, all boys will be boys. That's not an excuse. I've heard people say, oh, those young people, they're just sowing their wild oats. You sow the oats of sin, you're going to reap the harvest of sin.
Amen.
I've heard people say, who are you to tell me what's right and wrong? Don't tell me what's right and wrong. It's okay for me. But you live your life, I'll live my life. I've heard that argument. God hates sin.
Amen.
Case closed. There's no way around that. Let's look at the sources of sin. Hugh read this morning our scripture, reading James, the first chapter, starting in verse 13, going through 15. James says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I don't know how much purer that can be explained. We can't blame God. We're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires.
Mm-hmm.
And when that takes it a step farther, we sin. And sin brings forth death. 1 John 2:16, we covered this today in our Sunday morning Bible class. We're studying the book of 1 John. And if you're able to, I would encourage you to come to Sunday morning Bible class. Bring the kids. We have classes for all ages. And we in the adult class in here are studying the book of 1 John. The Apostle John writes, "For all that is in the world," that's pretty all-inclusive, "for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world."
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at these. The lust of the flesh includes anything having to do with the body. Sexual lusts and sins, drug abuse, any abuse to the body, not taking care of yourself. Maybe go, you know, let's look at the flip side. Laziness, all you want to do is sit around, do nothing, not take care of your body. The flip side of the coin, going too much. I tell you, I lean toward that one. Go, not taking care of yourself. All I want to do is have fun. Who doesn't want to have fun? Don't want to do anything that's restricting to me physically. I just want to have fun. I want to sleep. I want to be lazy. Those are all sins of the flesh. Because you're focusing on your body. You're focusing on your desires. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Brian brought this up in class today. A great example. And it was the one I'm using for the lust of the flesh. It's the story of David and Bathsheba. How he saw Bathsheba. He had sexual lust for her, committed adultery. And then took it a step farther. This kind of goes along also with the pride of life. How to cover up his sin has her husband killed. Look at how many sins we commit that springboard from an original, and we lie to cover up another lie. We sin to cover up sin. David had Bathsheba's husband Uriah, a loyal officer of his in the army, a loyal, trusting officer. To cover up David's sin, he had Uriah killed in battle. He had the power to do that. Sin is ugly. You can read the chapter 11 of 2 Samuel on your own and see this account of David and Bathsheba. Lust of the eyes, covetousness, stealing. You have something I want. And we talked about in class today, there is nothing wrong with admiring something that somebody has. Admiring a new car that somebody has. Admiring a beautiful home they have. But when it gets to the point of envy and jealousy, And then taking it even a step farther, stealing what somebody has because you want it. Or going the shortcut. I want things, I don't have them, so I'll steal, I'll kill, I'll rob. I'll gamble to take that shortcut. Mark, you know, stop here for a second. Kids in the audience. Lust of the eyes. Greed. Are you greedy? Are you stingy? Not wanting somebody to play with your toys. You don't want to play with them, but you don't want anybody else to play with them. Are you greedy with things? Parents, are you the same way? We see an example of lust of the eyes in Mark 10. This is that story of Jesus and the rich young ruler. Starting in verse 17, it says, "Now as he was going out on the road," this is talking about Jesus, "as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.'" What? He comes to Jesus and he wants to know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus is telling him these things that he knows. "I have followed these things since I was a young boy," he says. Verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This rich young ruler had a lot of good things in his life. As Jesus was telling him the commandments, not to steal, not to defraud, to honor your father and your mother, don't commit adultery, he felt good about himself. "I've done those things." But Jesus is telling him, there's one thing that stands between you and fully serving God. One thing was keeping him from being pleasing in God's eyes. And he says, "Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor." Jesus knew that. When in verse 21 it says, he looked at him. He loved him. He looks at that man. He knows the one thing. Wouldn't it be nice if we could mature enough to get down to where there's only one thing,
amen,
that we're doing bad?
Amen.
I wish I could just get down to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing, young man, that is standing between you and God. And that was his possessions. They're mine. I've worked hard. And there's nothing wrong with working hard for the things you have. Nothing. There's nothing wrong with being proud of the things you have. This man could not let go. He could not let go of those things. The lust of the eyes. That's what kept him. I wonder what the one thing for me. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. is that one thing that's going to stand between us and God? Is it lust of the flesh? Is it the lust of the eyes? Or is it the pride of life? Look at the pride of life. People that have power, prestige, arrogance is pride of life. Not wanting to repent. Repenting is hard. Because when you repent, you're saying, I'm wrong. There are people that cannot do that. I'm wrong. And it's hard to say it to God. God, please forgive me. I repent of this sin. Pride of life, wanting to have it your way. I want to have my way. I think of a little kid. No, mine. I want it my way. They throw a fit. I've seen a few adults throw their fits because they want it their way. 3 John, a little bit later on in John's writing, 3 John verses 9 and 10, see a very good example of this. John writes, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and the content with that he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. He had some power. He had some prestige. And he abused that power.
Mm-hmm.
He could not bring himself to have the attitude of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a very, very strong following. And when he realized Jesus, the Lamb of God, had arrived, in John 3:30, John the Baptist made the famous quote, he must increase and I must decrease. Not everybody had that attitude. Not everybody had that attitude with Christ. You look at the scribes and the Pharisees. They could not bring themselves to give up the power and accept that Jesus was the Christ. Giving up that power would mean they would have to give up some of their prestige and honor. And turn to somebody else that's greater. When everybody's turning to you as a spiritual leader, it's kind of hard to do that. And the scribes and Pharisees had trouble. John the Baptist, he understood. He must increase, and I must decrease. John 12:42. John, the author of what we've been reading in 1 John and 3 John, he wrote this also in his gospel. John 12:42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. That's sad. That they believe, they see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But they can't bring themselves, pride of life, they can't bring themselves to confess Him publicly because they would be put out of the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven forbid, they didn't want that. How many people will go to hell because they won't admit sin? They won't admit sin in their life. They won't repent. The good news is, the bad news is, the Bible's full of examples of sin and condemnation of sin. Sin is the separation of us and God.
Mm-hmm.
When we sin, we are separating ourselves from God. But yet the Bible's also full of how to deal with sin. And I'd like to finish up with the good news that we can deal with sin. Back in the Old Testament, in Daniel, I love Daniel's attitude in this. In Daniel 1:8, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself." This had to do with the fact that he wasn't going to eat of the choice delicacies in the royal court. He was being promoted to a position of honor and prestige, and he would have access to those. But he would not go along with that. It's not the fact of eating. It's the attitude that I'm impressed with. The attitude that Daniel purposed in his heart ahead of time. I will not sin. I know I need to do that in my life. I need to make that decision. I will not do this. Because when you're faced with it, in the heat of the moment, I don't want to rely on my strength of the heathen. I want to decide ahead of time. I will live this lifestyle. I will do these things. I will make the decision not to do these things. Because when all of a sudden I'm in a confrontation with somebody, I don't want to have to rely. I want to make my mind up ahead of time. I'm not going to lose my temper. I want to make my mind up that I'm not going to curl up my fist and do with it something I would have done in the past. I want to make my mind up ahead of time. Like, and that is an encouraging outlet for me. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians, going to the New Testament, Paul deals with this. We see a number of things here. In chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 12, Paul says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed." That's one thing that we can do, is take heed. We're not above reproach. We're not above sinning. But I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian how many ever years? Take heed, lest you fall. Verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." These people that say, "Well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through in this situation." No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. God knows what we can handle. "But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Two things in this. We need to take heed lest we fall, and realize God loves us and provides a way of escape. We have to keep our eyes open for that way of escape. Matthew 26, the night that right before Jesus was betrayed, he was in the garden praying. And Matthew 26, verse 41, he tells his apostles, his disciples, he tells them, "Watch and pray." There's a way to deal with sin. Watch. Kind of what Paul was saying, take heed. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew might as well have just written that to Bruce. The flesh is what? The spirit is willing. I want to do these things. But the flesh is weak. We have to purpose in our heart. We have to take heed. We have to know that there is a choice. God has given us a path out. And we need to watch and pray. In 1 John 1, verse 9, John says, if we confess our sins, that word if we confess our sins. Not everybody does that. It's hard to do. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not everybody can bring themselves to confess their sins to God and mm-hmm. ask for forgiveness. Amen. That's the pride of life. Mm-hmm. That's the pride of life. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, Paul writes, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. Have you ever regretted turning from sin? Have you ever regretted repenting? I have regretted sinning. I have never regretted being brought to godly sorrow that led to repentance. But the sorrow of the world produces death. What is the sorrow of the world? That we got caught. Sorrow of the world that I got caught and have to pay back whatever I stole. That I'm going to sit in jail for a while. That I caught some disease. That I did this, that I did that. Sorry that my family was destroyed because of X sin. For godly sorrow produces repentance. I'm glad we have that conscience that hurts when we do things. That it brings you sometimes to tears. That it breaks your heart that you've done whatever. Mm-hmm. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. And I'd like to close. These are the words of Jesus. Luke 13, verse 3. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And He says it again in verse 5. Word for word. Sin is ugly. There's nothing good about sin. It separates us from God. Mm-hmm. Sin can keep us from going to heaven and being with God. The words of Jesus, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We need to repent. We need to have that godly sorrow in our life and repent from sin and walk with Christ. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
If you need to respond to the invitation through repentance, through prayer requests, through a desire to be baptized, whatever you need, please come forward while we stand and sing.